Stupidity has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupidity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gott, a man I consider a personal hero, an icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gott providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gott's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupidity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the 20th anniversary stanza. How about that?
Oh, yeah. We're celebrating, right? We got a wedding?
Yeah, we do have a wedding. It is Field Yates' wedding. We'll get to that in just a second. Download, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. Leave a 5-star review with questions for me, a new 5-star review with questions, with ideas, guest ideas for Stupidity. Stanzik and I are going to go over last week's suggestions at the end of this episode. But you are right. We have a wedding coming up. It is Field Yates' wedding. We are very excited for it. We were not invited, but we are going to celebrate it right here on Stupidity. Stupidity! All right, so I'm bringing Gojo into this conversation. We're going to have Field Yates on. He's getting married, and we're not going to ask him any football questions. I don't care about football right now. I only care about his wedding. His big day is coming up this weekend. Mike Golic Jr. and I had become, we thought, very good friends with Field Yates through weekend observations. He was a regular part of the show, right, Mike?
Listen, we would check in with Field on the yacht every Sunday, getting ready for games. He would give us some fantasy football advice. We would have some playful banter, and we all thought it would eventually land us the invite to the wedding of the century on the Cape, but apparently we were wrong.
And how do you feel about that? Do you feel betrayed? I thought that we have arrived at a place in Field's life where it was a slam dunk both you and I would be invited to that wedding. In fact, I thought I'd be the best man.
Stugatz, I'm right there with you, because you know what? I thought we had brought out a side of Field Yates that people didn't get to see. They got to see the guy that was put together. He's buttoned up on NFL Live. He does all these official shows. And he came over with us, and listen, short of lighting up a cigarette, I feel like we really brought him to a place where he was more accessible to people like us, and apparently I was wrong.
Yeah, and I'm hurt. I'm not joking. I'm hurting right now because I thought we were better friends, and as you pointed out, it's going to be the wedding of the century, and I want to be involved in this. Stanzik, who do you imagine was invited to this wedding? Like, who do you imagine? Like Nance is a slam dunk, right?
Yeah, like from ESPN, probably Matthew Berry got the invite, Schefter.
Right.
I think Gore. Wingo got the invite. No way. Wingo got the invite. Oh, right?
Well, Gojo, what do you think? I mean, Gojo sits next to Wingo every day. Go look at Wingo. Check him out every morning, 6 to 10 on ESPN. ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, ESPN News. What channel aren't you on, Mike?
I say that really is the question at this point. It's goddamn embarrassment. But, Stu Gott, let me just say this. If I find out that, like, I you know what? I'm upset right now. Like, I'm hurt. If I find out that Trey Wingo is invited and we weren't, I'm going to upgrade to mad.
Do you know if Trey was invited or not, or you don't know?
I don't know. I haven't heard about this. Like, maybe Trey's been hiding it because he knows that I'm not invited and he knows that you and I aren't invited. I don't know, Stu Gott. Like, because, like, listen, again, think about all of the fun that's going to go on being there. Like, Shefty is going to be breaking news the entire time. I can confirm the presence of a cheese fondue. Like, we're not going to get to be a part of this now.
I know. I'm so upset as you just beautifully laid that out. I find myself getting angry. I'm telling you right now, if you and I weren't invited and Trey Wingo was, I was going to get Field a present. What I'll get him is a fist in his face, okay?
We got to present a unified front on this one, Stu Gott, because Field Yates is a nice guy, and I'm sure he's going to find some way. And we just got to ask him point blank, is Trey Wingo going to this wedding?
All right, and we will ask him, and Stanzik's going to get Field right now. He is busy. He's got wedding responsibilities on the Wednesday before his wedding. I've never heard of that in my entire life, but, of course, I've never been to a Yates wedding, so who the hell knows what's going on there. Like, Mike, what kind of questions do you have? You know, besides us being invited, who was invited, who wasn't invited, I'm thinking, like, the invitations. You know this is a first-class, top-notch, they-spared-no-expenses-type wedding. I want to know the registry. I mean, what kind of questions are you thinking about here for Field?
I want to know how much, because I know there's some part of it, but how much of his wedding tux, suit, whatever it is made of seersucker? I want to know how much of the reception is taking place on a boat or on the boat. I assume the Yates have a boat. They're not just renting a boat for this occasion because that's for pours.
Right.
I mean, those are the immediate ones that come to mind. Who sponsored the wedding? Because Stugazi, you know this, I'm sure, and you know, I'm sure a lot of people who have followed Field's social media accounts, no one has more sponsored material in their social media than Field Minister Yates. And I feel like we got to find out who's put their money up for this wedding.
It's so great. I can't wait to get him on. I will tell you this, Mike, also, I put together because I wanted Field to feel the pain of not inviting me. Okay. And so what I put together, and you have not heard it yet, and I am nervous to play it for Field, but we're going to all listen to it together at the end here, okay, once we're done with Field. I put together a mock best man speech, meaning if I were the best man, this is the speech I would deliver to Field and Chapin, his wife Chapin, at his wedding. So I am nervous to play this for Field, but Mike, we'll listen to it together at the end. It is the best man speech I would have given Field had he made me his best man. How about that?
So, guys, I'm proud of you because this is part of our claim to fame on Weekend Observations, us getting everyone to read my best man speech at my brother's wedding, and we've come full circle now because you have harnessed all of the power of making those cringeworthy restaurant reservations for every holiday into what I'm sure is going to be a real tearjerker.
All right, with that said, we bring on Field Yates, a guy we thought was our very good friend. Perhaps we were wrong. Perhaps Mike and I misread that. He is getting married this weekend. He's had wedding responsibilities for the last month. And Field joins us now on Stupidity. Field, let's start in the most obvious place. When you were going through the list here, we've all done it. At least people who've gotten married have done it. When you were going through your list of who to invite, who not to invite, were Mike Golic Jr. or myself or both of us, were we a consideration at the very least?
Well, so Stugatz, you know, at the end, or I guess the beginning of each week during the college basketball season, the coaches poll and the AP poll is released. And they break down the voting, not just who got the most first-place votes, but also the others receiving votes. And typically, it's like, you know, a middling Big 12 team or something like that who would have been like 26 or 27 in the top 25. I sort of view you and Mike Golic Jr. as others receiving votes for our wedding list. So you were close. With a strong season, you might make it or you might have made it, but there's still room to grow.
Golic, how do you feel about this? I mean, listen, I thought we were firmly entrenched inside of Field's top 25, but apparently we weren't.
I was going to say, I feel pretty upset about being the, like, standard year Notre Dame basketball of Field's wedding, where we're kind of on the fringe of the conversation, but ultimately only, you know, have, like, 6-7 white guys and can't quite push our way into the top 25. This is a tough pill to swallow.
What's the college football analogy? Is it Virginia? Others receiving votes? Like, Virginia,
oh,
right?
West Virginia specifically.
Wait, how many people jumped at West Virginia? Field, was that you jumping at West Virginia also?
Oh, absolutely. That was me. It's got to be West Virginia. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Listen, Field, roles reversed. I would have told you, hey, the invitation got lost in the mail. At least you're being honest here, you know?
Yeah, I guess nothing if not honest. But you know something? The problem is that, like, there's been enough, I don't say, like, confusion with some of these, like, invitations, but, like, there are people who claim, like, oh, I didn't send the RSVP back because I didn't get the invitation until late, or I thought I already sent it back. So there's been enough, like, actual real-life confusion that if I make jokes about the invitation lost in the mail, I fear bad wedding karma.
Yeah, Gojo, keep notes here, by the way, because you'll get married eventually one day, we think, and when you do, you do not invite Field Yates. You know that, right? That's done.
No, okay. Listen, I feel like I've got to get that retribution now, but I also do have a question, Field, because you just brought up a great point. Like, every guy who goes through this process, and believe me, I'm taking notes. My mom still hasn't given up complete hope yet that one day she'll be able to come to my wedding. But in the meantime, I'm always fascinated. What was the worst part of the wedding preparation process? Because I feel like every guy ends up encountering something he never could have dreamt up was a part of this and then found out was real life.
You know, I'm going to go off the grid a little bit. One thing that I realize is there is a shocking number of people that rather than just staying on one email thread, respond to your email by creating a new email thread of their own. And next thing you know, you've got 30 threads of emails just to figure out one teeny tiny part of the wedding, which thank God we have email, so I don't have to do all this over phone or text communication. But I was surprised, like my Gmail inbox, I think I might be exceeding my storage limit because of all the various email threads that have taken place over the past year or so.
Field Yates, Field Minister Yates, getting married this weekend with us here. Odd stupidity. All right, let's get down to the nitty gritty here. Trey Wingo, was he invited?
Trey Wingo will not be in attendance this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't mean he wasn't invited.
Was he invited?
Careful wording there.
That's what I asked. Phil, was Trey Wingo invited? That's all I want to know.
Trey Wingo was not. Him and I are going to be. I think we're going to be in Hawaii at the same time when my soon to be wife and I are honeymooning. So we'll celebrate then together.
Okay. Chris Mortensen, I'm assuming, was invited. Correct.
It's a very small list here, Stu Gatz. We had to keep it pretty tight with the venue size we have here.
Okay, what, the yacht?
Yeah, that's right, the yacht. We got to remember one thing here is that the NFL people, like, this is their one quiet time of the year. The last thing they want to do is spend any more time with me than they already do. Like, I can imagine it's kind of a chore as things currently stand.
So who from ESPN? There had to be some people from ESPN, right? Gojo, there had
Matthew
to be some people.
Matthew Berry and Stefania will be there from the fantasy side. And Mr. Adam Schefter will be there. Mike Reese will be there. Seth Markman will be there. We've got a couple others. So it'll be a good crowd. We're looking forward to it.
Field, are you at all concerned that Adam Schefter is going to be, like, leaking information about the wedding during the lead-up to it right now? Like, you afraid of stuff? Maybe any surprises that you have getting scooped by Shefty?
You know, we've actually spoken to somebody at the venue at our wedding, and we have convinced this person that if he could find a way to catch Adam before he walks in and enforce a very strict no cell phone rule at the party, but just for Adam. Like, everybody else is allowed to use theirs and take photos and go on Instagram with their favorite pictures of the evening, hopefully a great sunset and all that. But Adam is going to be without his phone, at least as far as our plan goes right now, for a few hours, which if you read about something catastrophic because Shefty doesn't have his phone on Saturday, like, I'm not sure what to tell you. Like, I can't take the blame for this entirely.
Gojo, I don't know if any of those names really hurt you. The only one that really hurt me was Mike Reese. I mean, are you kidding me? Mike Reese got an invite over me and you, Gojo. Mike Reese.
I can say, Stu Gatz, you're an around the horn winner now, and Mike Reese got invited over you. You were on weekend observations where we would visit with Field Yates on the yacht on a weekly basis, and Mike Reese got the invite over you. How do you feel, Stu?
I feel terrible. I really do. It makes me regret everything we've ever done with Field. I mean, listen, there are times I have it documented on Twitter where he calls me his BFF. This is Mike Reese Field. Yeah. It's amazing, Mike Reese. What does he
ever
done?
My thoughts?
What has Reese ever done for you?
Can I borrow a lot? But can I borrow the excuse that the invite got lost in the mail? Can I leave it there? I wish I could revert back to that.
The registry. Where did you guys register? We need to know.
Crate and Barrel and Pottery Barn. You know, so we kept it pretty simple, right in the fairway there, as best we could.
You kept it simple, but you kept it on brand too, though. So I'm proud of you.
Where would you have preferred? Like, is there something that I missed out on? Like, is there an opportunity that we just blew past? Like, what would have been a more logical or a better choice for the registry location?
Field, was there any consideration for, like, Williams Sonoma, something like that? I mean, you seem like, I've seen your social media feeds. You're a pretty high end guy.
You
got a lot of sponsors coming your way. Was anyone throwing money at you for the wedding? Like, is there any branding on this wedding?
You know something, Gojo? I'm pretty sure Williams Sonoma is part of the Pottery Barn family, so we might have some gift cards there or something like that. You know, the biggest trick, we've got people who've been very generous in sending along some gifts, but we live in a tiny apartment in Boston. Like, the space is getting out of control. We have a bed, and then we have boxes now in our apartment, which will be a real treat to get back to when this wedding is over.
Well, break some more stories. You'll have a place like Schefter's, yeah?
Glow Point's the goal one day. Like, that's all I can ask for.
So what are you expecting here, just quickly, like, in terms of gifts? Because I want to have you on and then see if it met your expectations, because my wife and I did this. We would, like, we put everyone that we invited on the wedding, we put down what we thought they were going to get us, and then we actually examined what they actually did get us. So what are you expecting here from Adam Schefter?
Ooh, probably something like, you know, Adam Schefter's wife, I think, handles most of, like, the duties of this nature, the gift giving. I'd imagine something that has a lot of utility, something, you know, a kitchen appliance of some sort that's very useful.
If they were just handing out envelopes, though, Gojo, what's the expectation for Schefter there? If it was just money, like, if he was just giving money, like, Schefter has to come with a grand, right?
Oh, if Schefter comes with anything less than a grand, Field, I don't know what sort of retribution or revenge you could seek, but you'd be justified in doing so.
My God. That's a very generous number. Listen, I know what you're going to say. Like, you just sound like a complete brown noser here. But seriously, like, as much as the gifts are going to be appreciated, people making the effort is a lot to already ask of them.
All right, so Field's expecting $1,000 from Schefter. We'll check back in with him after the wedding. How about Mike? Right, you heard that too, Mike, right? You heard it too?
Yeah.
Right.
How about Mike? Field Yates demands at least $1,000 from Adam Schefter.
Now, Mike Reese seems like some sort of mentor to Field. He's done a lot for him, so Mike Reese could probably stroll into this thing and not give you as much. Is that accurate?
Oh, man. I don't know that you put a lot more thought into the gifts than I have.
It's the only reason to get married is for the checks. I mean, listen, the best part of your wedding day is going to be when you sit. I'm telling you right now, the best part of the wedding day is going to be when everyone gets the f*** out of there and it's just you and your wife and you're sitting in bed and you're opening up envelopes. I'm telling you.
I've been tallying gifts up not for like to sort of like take stock of who gave what, but more like because we have to send thank you notes within 1 year. So I've just been making sure we haven't missed anybody yet.
All right, Gojo, should we unveil our surprise for him?
I think so. I think it's time, Stu Gotts. Listen, Phil, we still we called to obviously complain a little bit for not being invited, but in all seriousness, we're very happy for you. You've obviously been a great friend to us for a long time, and so. Stu Gotts and I sat here, and really, when I say that, I mean, I'm putting my name on the gift that Stu Gotts worked so hard to put together, but we're very excited to show this to you.
Field, we really are. We love you, okay? And you know we're happy for it. Disappointed that we're not invited, but perhaps we met you a little bit too late in the proceedings here, and that's fine. We understand that. And let me be honest with you, if you had invited me, there was no way it was coming, okay? So...
Thanks for being on.
With all that said, I wanted to give you a set. Now, I am cringing. Stanzik, because I've already done this and my stomach hurts. Golic hasn't heard it yet. Field obviously hasn't heard it yet. Stanzik, you have heard it. My stomach is hurting. I am cringing right now. I do not want to play this for Field Yates, Stanzik.
We have to.
Okay. So, Field, if we were BFFs, best friends, and I was your best man, I wanted to give you a sample of what your best man speech would have sounded like. Here it is. For those of you that know me, and I assume that's all of you, I'm Field's best friend, Stu Gotts. I'll try to make it quick. I know you all want to get back on the dance floor as soon as possible. And who would have thought that Christopher Cross, Kenny Loggins, Michael McDonald, Steve Winwood, and the Doobie Brothers would all be available on the same day for the same wedding? Actually, when you consider Field, we all would have thought that. If I could just get Grant Covington and Russell Foglesby III off the dance floor, I can get you back to the dance floor as soon as possible. By the way, guys, seersucker suits, great choice. I mean, Follansby, let's go. Someone get him a Red Bull and vodka. Follansby, your wife is pregnant there. She's about to pop sitting at the table by herself. Like, enough. First and foremost, I'd like to thank the sponsors. Not Vineyard Vines, Allbirds, and every craft brew company on the Eastern Seaboard that sponsors Field. I want to thank my sponsors. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And TISO, the official watch of the NBA. Shop now at us.tisoshop.com. Fornication. I'm sorry. Little note. For an occasion like this, it's important to look around at the people gathered here on this beautiful day in Nantucket to celebrate the love between Chapin and Field. There are sailors, boaters, admirals, captains, and yacht owners. Quite frankly, there's seamen everywhere. There's also a guy in the back who looks like a former clown that now owns a balloon shop. Looks very excited to be here. Jim Nance is also here, and Field, I don't want to ruin the surprise, but he got you his tie as a gift. Field and I met years ago in Bristol, Connecticut. Chapin, I know you ran the Boston Marathon last year, but Field and I completed the ESPN Fantasy Football Marathon together, and that's something that bonds you for life. And if it doesn't, you should have seen the 6 hours in the Bristol strip clubs after the marathon. There was a penguin involved. It got weird. Foglesby, you were there.
That is when we realize that we are both former college lacrosse players who look like we're in our early 20s. Now, Field's face may have been shaped by sand, wind, and salt from his summers at the Cape, and mine may have been formed by tequila, screaming fury into a microphone, and ripping heaters on the golf course, but we are practically brothers. And as Field's older brother and best man, I think it's only appropriate to give you a few fun facts about him. One, Field's middle name is Minister. I have no joke here. These are just facts. Two, Field is the only person I know who routinely uses the word summer as a verb. Three, he has the whitest teeth at ESPN, and before you say Sal Pal, those are fake and he's not fooling anyone. And four, Field is the first person in the history of holy matrimony to wear the same suit he wore for his first communion. Chapin, you look beautiful, by the way. Even more beautiful than the Spalding game day leather on my Tiso watch. Shop us.tisoshop.com. Field and Chapin, let me put this in terms that perhaps both of you will understand, because Chapin, you've been around Field long enough at this point that you speak the language of football, and that's the only language that Field speaks. You have outkicked your coverage. Chapin, I'm talking about you. I mean, Field, it was just a year ago where I was sitting around with Foglesby, and he revealed to me that Chapin was number one on his big board. Multi-talented, multi-faceted player, led the league in sacks one year, the fairest catch imaginable, a prototypical wide receiver that thrives against the bump and run. I bet you're great in the trenches.
Oh.
And by the way, those are Foglesby's words. Chapin, as you get set to take the field, I want to let you know what you have to look forward to. There will be plenty of ski trips to Vail, matching pajamas on Christmas, closets full of pastel combinations, and a barrage of texts from me every Sunday in the fall asking Field for fantasy advice and insight on the Jets and their opponents, and I won't stop doing that even after you have your first son, Wellington. Foglesby, what's the matter? They stole your name? You had dibs on Wellington? Now, while I'm sure that Field will spend the majority of your honeymoon in Hawaii posting shirtless photos on Instagram, as they say, Yater's gonna yate, know that you have truly found the perfect mate. So, let's raise a glass to Chapin Field. You with me, Foglesby?
I am cringing. I feel
Oh my God. How long did that take you to come up with? That
about 5 minutes.
That's me to a T. That's us to a T. That's just that. I don't know what sort of podcast Hall of Fame there is right now, but whatever it is, either we're creating a new wing or you're just a first ballot Hall of Famer for it.
All right, that would have been your best man speech. So what are you thinking, last minute invite?
I think it's on the table. Make your way up here right now. It's only like a 4-hour flight from Miami.
I'm going to be in the area anyway. I'm going to see Dead & Company Friday at Foxborough.
See?
Yes.
It's meant to be.
It's all right. It's well, then I'll be. See. This is a guy. I'll see you Saturday. This is tremendous.
There you go. You and Schefter could sit next to each other.
Oh, my God. I mean, that would be dreams come true. I would only go. Listen, don't take this the wrong way, but I'd only go to sit next to Schefter.
See? That's incentive right there.
All right. I love you. Congratulations. Have a great weekend. I hope your family and Chapin's family, more importantly, enjoys it. And remember, it is not her day, Field. It is yours.
It's a really great point. I love you, too. I love all of you guys for all your this was great laughs and support. So looking forward to it, and I'm sure we'll be connecting after the wedding as well.
Yes, we will. We will get a full breakdown from both you and Adam Schefter.
The All-22 is coming. Don't you worry.
Stupidity! All right, NBA draft is tonight. We'll do some serious draft talk with Jay Billis coming up here in just a second, but we'll also have some fun with him as well. Jay Billis coming up in just a minute. Finding a new job is a lot of work. It doesn't need to be. What if you had your own personal recruiter to help you find a better job? Now ZipRecruiter's technology could do that for you. Just download the ZipRecruiter job search app, Let it know what kind of jobs you're interested in, and its technology starts doing the work. The ZipRecruiter app finds jobs you'll like and puts your profile in front of employers who may be looking for someone like you. How about that? If an employer likes your profile, ZipRecruiter lets you know. So if you're interested in the job, you can apply. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated job search app, period. End of discussion. They are number one. There is no debate. And based on a third-party survey, 7 out of 10 people who found a new job on ZipRecruiter increased their salaries. How about that? These were the results of a 2017 U.S. survey of over 500 ZipRecruiter users who got hired for a job they found on ZipRecruiter. My listeners should download the free ZipRecruiter job search app today and let the power of technology work for you. Don't wait. The sooner you download the free ZipRecruiter job search app, the sooner it can help you find a better job. Go get a job. Go to ZipRecruiter.com today and make sure you download the ZipRecruiter job search app. Do it today. Stupidity! All right, so Jay Bill is going to join us now during a very busy time for Jay as the NBA draft is tonight. And Jay is part of our draft coverage, and he joins us now here on Stupidity. What has taken us so long, Stanzit, to have Jay Billis on Stupidity? It feels like the perfect podcast for him. Not that he's stupid, I am, but he's smart, and we like to have smart people on to cover up my stupidity.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you just haven't suggested him.
Okay. Okay.
I think you've been dodging him. I think that's the reason we haven't had him on.
Billis, have you been waiting for the invitation or what?
A career highlight for me. I've called all my friends and family to listen, and I couldn't be happier.
Jay, serious question. Did you know what Stupidity was before Stu just said it?
Of course I did. I know all the best podcasts, and Stupidity is right up there with the second best podcast, whatever that may be.
Oprah.
You're right about that. So, Jay, we have the draft coming up, and I have a theory, okay, that, listen, it's probably a horrible theory, but I think, like, people aren't paying attention. And so I feel like there are a few catchphrases, a few words that I could use to describe college players that I've never seen. And I'll sound like an expert. I will sound like you, or I'll sound like any of the guys who are doing the draft. And I think I can pull this off. And I think you're the perfect guy to kind of, like, just throw a name out to me and then grade what it is that I say and tell me how accurate it is. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that because I can do that in the NFL and in fact did that. I mean, I think if you, if you say arm strength, stuff like that for quarterbacks, you're fine.
Okay, so Stanzik, wait a second. Now, Stanzik, now I want to get a couple of NFL players for him. Can we do that?
I can throw it through a tight window.
give us Kyler Murray, Jay.
Oh, Kyler Murray. He may not have positional size, but he can really throw it through a tight window and throws a. He throws a good ball, great arm strength, and his mobility is outstanding. He may not be able to see initially over the line, but able to move in the pocket, then outside the pocket in order to elude defenders. And then he delivers the ball on time and on target, and he can throw it deep as well. So I think Kyler Murray, the number one prospect in the NFL draft, bar none.
Boom!
All right, get out of here, Kuiper.
That's amazing. All right, well, Stanzik, now let's weave back and forth here like a tennis match, okay? So,
well, hang on 1 second, Stu. Jay, can you do that about other things in your life? Could you do that about, like, cereal?
Oh, absolutely.
If I said, like, Fruit Loops, could you give me a draft breakdown on Fruit Loops?
Well, are we going with old-school Fruit Loops that didn't have as much sugar? Because and the best part of Fruit Loops is how the milk tastes after you have eaten all the Fruit Loops. They do not sog up as quickly as other cereals, and so they keep their form better than most other cereals.
All right, so do you want to do this, actually? Do you want to go old-school Fruit Loops and give us your draft analysis, or did you just do that?
I just did. I mean, I'll do whatever you want. I mean, right. I got clearly I have plenty of time on my hands, and I'm not discerning in what I talk about.
All right, well, hold on. Where else can we go here with Billis? Because Stanzik, you want to stick with cereals? You want to go off the board? You want to go, like, tell me where you want to go here, Stanzik.
I think we could do anything. I think he could break down you as a radio host.
Okay, let's do that. Yes. I'm not going to do anything here. Bills are going to do all the work.
Well,
right.
No, we still want to hear you breaking down these NBA draft prospects, too.
All right, so we're going to do it. Let's go radio host, though, Jay. So Dan Le Batard, radio host, go.
Well, Dan Le Batard is one of the smartest radio hosts out there because he's unconventional. He talks about things that are not in the normal wheelhouse of a sports broadcaster, but he makes it fun and interesting, and he is very well read and is unafraid to tell somebody to shove it up their backside.
You know what I think it is, Stu? I think it's just the cadence. The cadence and the cocksureness, yes. I think, is what makes it come across.
All right, so
minus the sure.
stupidity.
Oh, that was tremendous. All right, so you guys, I mean, someone, Jay, Stanzik, whoever wants to just throw a basketball player at me. Some guy who's going to get drafted
Jay,
here.
Just for our purposes, I gave Stu a list of the top 20 rankings on ESPN.com.
Okay, how about let's start with Kevin Porter Jr. Out of Southern Cal.
Ah, the 6'6 guard out of USC, freshman, not a ton of experience. Think he had some injury problems in college, 213 pounds. Probably a tweener, somewhere between a shooting guard and a small guard, but a guy that really gets after it defensively on the defensive side of the basketball. Needs some work on the long-range shot, but has a very crafty, kind of sneaky offensive game. Don't be surprised if Kevin Porter, years from now, turns out to be one of the best players in this draft.
You know, not bad, really. Not bad.
Yes!
I wouldn't have led with defense with Kevin Porter Jr., but, you know, he's a lefty that can really score. The best part is his offense. He's a shot creator.
Right.
And I don't know that he had, you know, he had some injury issues, but he also had a couple off-court issues where he's suspended for like conduct detrimental and all that stuff. But that was within the range of acceptability and almost sounding knowledgeable.
Well, see, Jay, that's my point, though. See, you would know all that stuff about him, okay? But the people watching at home, they have no idea. They have no idea about, for the most part, Kevin Porter, his story, or his game. And so I feel like you just say anything, and it might not pass your sniff test, but it will pass theirs, you know?
Yeah, I think that's true. And that's the beauty of sports broadcasting is we don't have to, you know, we don't really have to be prepared as long as we, you know, and I've said this to my friends who've tried to get into broadcasting. I've said, look, you know, when you're auditioning, you can be wrong as long as you're emphatically wrong. If you're emphatically wrong, it's just as good as being right.
All right, Stanzik, where do you want to go? You want to go football player? Jay, what else? Well, like, what other things? Or you want to stay on the radio host path here? Where else do you want to go?
We go to tennis. So we can go, you know, whatever okay. you want.
All right, tennis. So let's do all right, let's throw a tennis player at you. You want to go old school? You want someone new? You want someone currently playing? Who do you want?
Whatever you like. I don't know anything about tennis. Whatever
right.
you like.
All right, Andre Agassi, go.
Well, Andre Agassi had a magnificent serve, and his movement was so good. Good along the baseline, could come to the net. But I think what set him apart was his first and his second serve. His second serve could be as powerful and is difficult to deal with, not only with spin, but placement of his second serve as anybody. I mean, he won a bunch of majors and but could really move. Great backhand, too. Backhand passing shots, outstanding.
I mean, it was just so good. Nailed it on the second serve, by the way. All right, does you want to throw another basketball player at me? Anywhere you want to go, Jeff?
How about Cam Reddish of Duke?
All right, Cam Reddish out of Duke, the 6'8 freshman from Duke, part of that great freshman class to come out of Duke. Listen, there were times during the season where I said Cam Reddish was better than R.J. Barrett, better than Zion Williamson. He admitted recently to doing some dumb things at Duke and wants to be more like Kevin Durant. And I think he can be more like Kevin Durant when you consider the type of body that he has, the length of that body, the athleticism, the fact that he's a two-way player, offensively great, defensively great, needs some work on the jump shot. I'm not saying he's going to be Kevin Durant, but I wouldn't be surprised if Cam Reddish, with all that talent, all that athletic ability, who was the third best player on a very good team and didn't really get to shine and show himself many times, I think Cam Reddish in the NBA will translate into a guy who scores 24 points a game at one point in his career. How about that?
That was pretty damn good.
Yes.
The BS is strong in you, my friend. That's really impressive. That could have passed for intelligent analysis on most days.
Well, thank you, Jay. I appreciate that. Chicken Parmesan. Go ahead, Jay.
Well, chicken parm is one of my favorite things simply because if you handle the chicken right and fry it the right way, breaded, Milanese style, and then you use the proper amount of cheese, and there's nowhere better than actually in Milan. But if you're going to be the best chicken parm is going to be in New York City at a place called Il Molino.
Oh, wow. I've eaten there. It's so good.
I have no idea whether they serve chicken parm at Il Molino, but I was there recently. So I'm just pulling that out of my backside along with the rest of my analysis.
It's okay. I had no idea if Kevin Porter was ever injured or not. So it's fine. Give me another player here, Jet.
Let's go with Bol Bol of Oregon.
Ah, the 7'3 center out of Oregon, played 1 year coming out after his freshman year. 7'3", 208, so needs to put some weight on, needs to hit the weight room. I don't know how he translates in today's NBA because not very good from long distance. So it could be interesting to see how much interest there is in a guy who doesn't take threes in today's NBA, but has a ton of upside and athletic ability. And with the right coaching, the right practice, the right amount of work, and he is a hard worker, I think it's a shot he can develop down the road. And so I wouldn't be surprised, maybe 5 years, probably a long-term project, but I wouldn't be surprised 5 or 6 years from now, Jay, if Bol Bol turns out to be one of the top five players in this year's draft.
That's an example of where emphatically wrong is good.
Because you missed that one.
The one thing about him, the biggest thing about him is his work ethic has been questioned and sort of how durable he is. So the 208 was right. And he's actually a very good shooter and very skilled. But, you know, and defense, you know, I don't think you mentioned much about defense. That hasn't been a big issue with him. Right. But you did. I forgot one thing earlier when you mentioned Kevin Porter Jr. With defense. One of the things about defense that comes up all the time is when they say he plays on both sides of the ball. There are no sides of the ball in basketball. There are sides of the floor. He plays on both ends of the floor, you could say. But the players don't line up on sides of the ball like they do in football.
That's very fair. Stu, you should just say good genetics with Bol Bol. That's a catch-all. Manute Bol's kid.
All right. Stanzik, throw out a band.
You screwed up. You used his last name first, and that was wrong.
Stanzik.
All right, Jay, Pearl Jam, go.
There you go.
Pearl Jam has had more drummers than any band in the history of rock and roll, but Eddie Vedder, with his deep voice and dulcet tones, I think one of the finest crooners that you'll see in rock and roll. And their Seattle grunge style has matured, one of the best bands, but they've had so many different drummers. And which one could you say is the best? I don't know that I could even pick.
Okay. Stanzik, you just throw a player out to me and I'll go, okay? Because I like you playing, kind of going back and forth here, okay?
Okay, how about Jackson Hayes?
Jackson Hayes, the 6'10 freshman center out of Texas, kind of a tweener, but in today's NBA could translate very, very well. Very athletic, long body, tenacious on the defensive side of the basketball, a guy that can hit threes, can really stretch the floor. I expect Jackson Hayes to go inside the top 10 in tonight's NBA draft, and Jackson Hayes to have a stellar 15-year career.
Excellent. And I'll tell you, your ability to absorb criticism and information and act upon it right away is really stunning because you said defensive side of the ball. We just discussed that there were no sides of the ball in basketball. But you're actually right on Jackson Hayes. He's a defender, rim protector, rebounder, but his offensive game way behind. His dad played 10 years in the NFL. His mom was a great basketball player at Drake, actually averaged 50 points a game in high school. In Iowa, but that was pretty darn good. Aside from not adjusting to what you were told, you're clearly not coachable.
No, I am not, Jay. That's been Levitard's frustration for the last 16 years. All right, so here we go, Jay. I need to do this. I'm going to let you go in a second. I have a couple of real draft questions for you, but I need to do this again with you, okay? Because I think it's a battle of bullshitters, okay? And so I'd like to do this with you more if I can.
Oh my God! I mean, this has been one of the highlights of my since lunch. This has been one of the highlights since lunch.
Stanzik, but you see, like, there's tons of potential here, right?
Definitely.
So, Jay, help me out here if you could. First off, I'm interested. Like, Stanzik and I were laughing before you came on. I forget you were drafted at the time where there were 5-6 rounds, I think, in the NBA draft. Is that correct?
There were more than that. I think there might have been 7 or 8 rounds back then. I got taken in the 5th round. I wasn't. David Stern did not call out my name, nor did Russ Granick, I think, who was second in line back then. I think my name was called by an intern who could stay up really late because my name was announced at probably 2 a.m.
So what do you remember from that night? Like what stands still an exciting night? I mean, you're waiting around. You don't, you know, David Stern doesn't call your name, but you're still getting drafted that night after a great career at Duke. So what do you remember about that night?
Well, the draft wasn't on TV back then, so right. It wasn't. This is 1986, so you know I didn't know until the next morning that I got drafted. I actually got a telegram and then a phone call from my agent. My agent was a guy named Larry Fleischer, who was the Basketball Hall of Fame, passed away back in the late '80s. But that's how I found out. I knew I wasn't going to be taken, before the probably the 3rd or 4th round, if that. And so I actually went out with friends that day and hung out. I wasn't really worried about, you know, sort of about the draft.
Stanzik, you're laughing at Telegram, aren't you?
Oh, my God, yes. I was born
yeah,
in 86.
We got telegrams back then. I used to get telegrams like in recruiting. Coach K sent me telegrams and all that stuff. You had a good game or something, they'd send you a telegram. It's ridiculous.
He telegrammed you that you had a good game?
Yeah, yeah. It was it was kind of like, you know, they smoke signals or Pony Express, stuff like that. It's just after those days.
Billis, you and I are getting old, man. I mean, I watched it in college. You and I are getting old, man. Jeez.
Yeah, that is absolutely right.
All right, so help me out. What do you think, like, I'm a Knicks fan, Jay, and obviously I wanted the first pick, and that first pick is going to be Zion Williamson. Is there anything you could tell me? Like, would you be shocked, Jay, if 10 years from now we are discussing R.J. Barrett and not Zion Williamson as the best player from this year's draft?
I would not be surprised. I shouldn't say that. I'd be a little bit surprised. I wouldn't be shocked, because R.J. was the presumptive number one pick coming into the summer of last year, and he still should have been in high school. He reclassed to go to Duke. So he's very, very good, and I think has a chance to be a James Harden type player. It's just that Zion's a phenomenon, and Ja Morant, you know, is the best passer in the draft and has, you know, Russell Westbrook type athleticism, and is a legit point. But in any given year, you would have R.J. Barrett as if not the top pick right there. So he's legit. He is really, really good. It's just when you're in a Zion year or a LeBron year, like, you know, it's like Dwayne Wade or something. You know, sure. Dwayne Wade was the fifth pick when LeBron came out. He's done pretty well.
Yeah. Is there a comparison for Zion, Jay? Like, if you were, can you compare him to someone who's currently playing in the NBA, or is he unlike any player we've seen?
He's unlike anything I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody like him on a basketball floor. I mean, you know, showing my age again, it's like if you took Lawrence Taylor and Barry Sanders and molded them into a basketball player,
right?
With a great basketball IQ. He's just he's a phenomenon, and I think he's going to be great. The only thing that I've heard that I agree with on the negative side is, you know, you wonder about injury long term with that body. I don't worry about it, but you know, some other people have mentioned it, and it's hard for me to disagree that, okay, that's a concern. But unless some doctor tells you don't draft this guy, he's an injury problem, I'd take him number one without hesitation.
All right, and same question here on Cam Reddish. Just going through the Duke guys. If I told you 10 years from now Cam Reddish turned out to be the best player in this draft, you would tell me what? Because, Jay, it's not unprecedented. I mean, Kawhi Leonard was drafted 15th or 16th in the first round. I'm pretty certain he's the best player from that draft. Do you feel the same way about Cam Reddish as you do R.J. Barrett?
I don't. He's okay. As talented, but he doesn't have the want to that Kawhi Leonard had. Like, the one people question, myself included, whether Kawhi Leonard was going to emerge into a really good shooter in the NBA. Nobody questioned his want to. And, you know, that guy was a killer coming out of San Diego State. And I think he was taken 15th, something like that, just outside the lottery. Cam Reddish is going to be taken before that in this draft, is my guess. You know, I've got him slated 8th or 9th. But he does not have the same kind of attitude and want to that Kawhi Leonard had. Not a lot of people do, but nobody ever questioned how hard Kawhi was going to play. They're questioning that about Cam Reddish.
All right, Jay Billis with us here on Stupidity. I think the and at Jay Billis on Twitter is a great follow on Twitter. Again, it's at Jay Billis. The unknown here, I think the guy that most people are intrigued by but know nothing about is Garland. What can you tell us about Garland, Jay?
Darius Garland was the top point guard coming out of high school last year, and was, you know, is a really good shooter. He's about 6'2". His arms go to about 6'5". But he, our draft analyst Mike Schmitz has likened him to Damian Lillard, which is pretty high praise. He can really shoot it, and he shoots it really well off the dribble, you know, step backs. So he uses pick and roll to get his own shot really effectively. Not as good of a passer off pick and roll situations yet, but he certainly has it in him. I don't put him in the same, you know, sort of the same mold or same class as Ja Morant. I think Morant's better. But I have Coby White right there with him from North Carolina, but he certainly is, if not the best shooter, among the best shooters in the draft. The next best shooter, or the only other guy I'd say is a better shooter than him in this draft, is probably Cam Johnson of North Carolina, the 6'8". Senior who just shoots the eyes out of it.
All right, Jay, we'll get you out of here on this note. And again, at Jay Billis on Twitter, check him out, all our draft coverage here on ESPN. He does a great job, college basketball and everything. And Jay, we appreciate the time because we know it's a busy time. But on the way out here, give me a name here. I hear a lot of people raving about Jarrett Culver from Texas Tech, sophomore, 6'7" guard. The guy that Jay Billis feels like could be, who's the sleeper of this draft? The guy 10 years from now, we could say was the best player from this draft. Someone that we're not thinking about.
Yeah, I don't know that we'll say best player, but we'll probably say underdrafted, if you will.
Sure.
The guy we talked about before, Kevin Porter Jr., if he puts it all together, he's uber talented and lefty that can really score and, you know, an NBA athlete. The other guy I would say is I'm a big fan of that kid, Rui Hachimura from Gonzaga. Big body, strong, good athlete, can bounce it, can shoot it off the dribble. He hasn't extended his range to NBA yet where he's a legit, you know, sort of NBA three-point shooter, but I think he's going to be able to do that.
And he's great on the defensive side of the ball, huh?
Yes, on both sides of the ball. Excellent on both sides of the ball. So when he lines up, gets in a three-point stance on the defensive side of the ball. Excellent.
At Jay Billis on Twitter, check him out as part of ESPN's draft coverage. Clearly doing a lot of preparation the night before the draft, sitting here talking to me about a bunch of nonsense. Jay, this was a lot of fun. We're going to do a bullshit contest coming up in the next couple of weeks. Me versus you. I have met my match, Dan. Think it is Jay Billis. How about that?
I'll be number one seed in the East in a bullshit contest.
All right. I can't wait to do it. We will do it in a couple of weeks when you're not nearly as busy. Okay.
All right, brother. Enjoy it. Right.
Stupidity! Tissot is the official watch of the NBA. Each one of Tissot's timepieces delivers quality performance and traditional luxury. This graduation season, get the NBA fan in your life a Tissot watch. The Tissot Chrono XL is a great watch for those looking for a sporty chronograph with Swiss technology at an unbeatable price. Shop now at us.tissotshop.com. And buy a watch today for the NBA fan in your life. Stupidity! All right, so Stanzik, you had a great idea last week about our listeners going on to Apple Podcast. And even if you've left a rating already, you asked them. Well, Stanzik, go ahead. Tell the audience what you asked them to do.
So as of June 13th, we wanted 5-star reviews and we wanted questions for anyone involved with the podcast to answer. So it's almost an AUA for anyone related to the podcast. Or it could be guest suggestions, bit ideas. We just wanted to hear from the audience so they could contribute to this podcast, and they came strong.
All right, great. So they came strong. So, again, you have to leave a 5-star review, even if you've already left one. You can ask questions. You can leave suggestions. And just so you know that we're not ignoring them and doing them for ratings, we are actually going to address many of your questions, ideas, suggestions right now. How about that?
First from Ev3594, he says, buddy, Juan Wiener is the best, and so are your stories of being a big man on campus. I'd love to hear more university stories from Stu, and if you could have gone to any college, which one would you have gone to?
Okay, armed with hindsight, I would have went to the University of Colorado, Boulder. To me, it's the nicest campus in America. There are a couple of others that are up there, Michigan, Wisconsin, Virginia, USC, but to me, North Carolina, beautiful. But to me, Colorado, just, you know, based on, Stanzik, based on what you know about me, the Grateful Dead, kind of free-spirited, don't want a ton of academic pressure, and just the sheer beauty of Boulder, Colorado, you would agree that would be the school for me, right?
Yeah, you'd be going for the weed. I got it.
Yeah.
Next one's from Jay Slam.
Okay, Jay Slam.
And he or she, I'm not sure, says, I have an unhealthy obsession with stupidity. Weekend Observations reunion is epic. Is Mikey C single, asking for a friend?
Oh, wow. Mikey C, is he single? I have no idea. I mean, if he was dating someone, it'd be the single most shocking thing I've ever heard.
He is single. Next one.
Of course. All right, so Jay Slam, Mikey C is single. He's all yours.
From Matt Fromsdorf. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
He's invited to Field Yates' wedding.
he said, need a live show we can go see.
I want to do this. Stanzik, do you think that's a good idea? Like, so here's the deal with a live show. I think what audiences want to see when they come to a live show is the actual show, right? Like, you know, we did a live show for the Levitard show, and we were a bit out of our element because we weren't doing the live show. We were kind of acting a bit. I think people would like to see the dynamics, how we work together. So I think people would love that. I think we'd sell it out pretty quickly. What do you think?
Yeah, I think on a previous pod, I don't know if it was last week or the time before with Weekend Observations, Mikey C selling out a live event. I actually think that would be funny.
Okay, so let's put this together. I would like to do it with the Weekend Observations crew, so it would be me, you, Mike Golic Jr., Mikey A and Mikey C. We'll have to create a dumpster. Mikey C will have to go to the dumpster, smoke a cigarette, and do a smoke break. But I think this could be fun, and I think the audience would love it. How do we put this together? Who do we talk to? Who do I need to talk to, Stanzi?
Sales team.
All right, I'll talk to the sales team. What else do you have?
From D. Briggs 31, did Stugatz get laid on Father's Day?
It was a stare down. Here's the deal on Father's Day, okay? A, I was traveling for lacrosse. B, it was Abby's birthday. But I did get home around 8 o'clock. And so here's the deal. Every year for Abby's birthday, she wants the gift of no sex. And every year for Father's Day, I want the gift of sex. And so this year, Father's Day and her birthday landed on the same day, unfortunately. And so what we agreed to do is have a stare down. And we just stared at each other, and the first one that blinked, they got what they wanted. And I will tell you, as I'm sitting here on Wednesday, Abby is still staring at me, and she still hasn't blinked.
From B-Falk 42.
Stupidity!
He says, Stugatz, you need to get out in front of the Patrick Mahomes is a fraud take before someone else gets it.
All right, so here's my thing with Patrick Mahomes. I called him Patrick Mahal of Fame before anyone else did. Now, Trey Wingo will probably sit here and try to take credit, but Stanzik, you know I was the first one to say that, right?
You know, I'm not sure because I feel like I gave Trey Wingo that line, and I don't know if I got it from myself or if I got it from you. I can't remember.
You stole it from me. I said it first. I know I did.
Okay.
So now he wants me to go the other way on Patrick Mahomes. How do you feel about that? Should I be the first one to get out there and go the other way on Patrick Mahomes?
Well, if you do that, then you have both takes and you're covered no matter what happens to him. I mean, let's think about this. He has to regress somewhat this year.
What were the stats last year? Let me check them out, because I am ready to go down
this path. I think it was 50 touchdown passes, 5,000 yards. I mean, it was unprecedented.
Listen, I could be a piano boy. I could be whatever you want me to be, okay? I mean, that's the beauty of who I am and this character that we've created on the Levitard Show. So I could be whoever you want to be. I have no problem going the other way here. I want to check out the stats, though. So we had 5,097 yards, 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. That was in his first year. So, you would agree that if he does that again, then we're talking about a Hall of Famer. There's nowhere but down for Patrick Mahomes. I think I can go with this. What do you think?
I think that's the point, is that he has to come back to earth. So you should get out in front of it and say he's going to plummet back down to earth.
All right. So Patrick Mahomes, 1 year wonder, 50 touchdowns and a great offense, couple of great wide receivers. He loses Kareem Hunt. He is off to the Cleveland Browns. There is absolutely no way that Patrick Mahomes replicates what he did last year. In fact, that will be the best year that Patrick Mahomes ever has in his entire career. It's only downhill from here, starting next season where he plummets down to earth. How is that, Stanzik?
Nailed it.
All right.
From Kobe Bryant, Black Mamba, if you were stranded on a desert island for a year and had to choose one of these people to be with you, Elon Musk, J.J. Watt, or Greg Cody, who do you choose?
Wow. Well, definitely not J.J. Watt. And by the way, J.J. Watt on a deserted island for a year would have as many sacks on that deserted island as he had actually playing in the NFL. Oh, that...
I think Watt would build you like a log cabin. I think Watt would go to work. I think
that minimalistic log cabin that he talked about that's bigger than everyone else's house in America? That thing? Is that what you're talking about? The thing's got a putting green.
Yeah.
There's an equestrian field there.
I mean, he would do all the work for you. Cody wouldn't do anything. Elon Musk is a fraud. Watt's the right answer, as much as it pains me to say.
No. But if JJ can only save one person, he's saving himself, right?
Like, true. If Cody can save one person, he's saving himself. If Musk can save one person, he's saving himself.
Well, so let's just think this through. Elon Musk probably has, in terms of resources and ability to get us off that island, he probably has...
He won't have any resources on the island, though. That's the thing. He's not going to have Wi-Fi. He won't have anything.
Right.
He'll be useless.
You know what Elon's done? He'll spend the year telling me how someone's building a tunnel under the sea to get us back to the mainland, and it will never f***ing happen.
Exactly.
Because everything that guy says doesn't happen. All right? So Elon Musk, he is off the list. All right? So J.J. Watt and Greg Cody. With Cody, here's what I know. At least I'll be entertained, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cody's going to make me laugh on a daily basis. Man, this is tough. Oh, man. This is tough. J.J. Watt or Greg Cody. So you're feeling like J.J. Watt. Like, you have Cody just sitting on the beach waiting for me to do something, as opposed to J.J. Watt, who's going to build me a hut, who's going to let me sleep there. He's going to take care of me, J.J. Watt, especially if there's a camera around, right?
100%.
All right, so let's go J.J. Watt. We'll go J.J. Watt. Me and J.J. Watt stranded together on an island. I mean, that, Jesus Christ, is that dreadful.
That was classic, Stu Gatz. You started that answer with, first of all, there's no way it'd be J.J. Watt, and you ended the answer with, all right, it's J.J. Watt.
And I took a shot, five shots at J.J. Watt in between.
Attaboy. From Panic 1976, doesn't Bill Simmons owe you? You did Simmons pod. You should be owed him and Russillo, right?
I mean, I'm certain if we asked Russillo to come on this podcast, he would. You're right. Simmons, listen, I went on Simmons' podcast. He said we were going to do a home and home. Now, I had Bill Simmons on the Levitard show this week, and here's what I will tell you. We pressed him on it. I was very upset. He felt my anger. He agreed to come on next week, Stanzik. How about that? Headed into NBA free agency right after the NBA draft, we will have the guy you want to hear from as it relates to the NBA. He wrote the book of basketball, for crying out loud. Bill Simmons will be on next week. How about that?
It's good news. Next, we have a trio of golf questions, so I'll just ask them all consecutively. First, Ray CNY says, Stu, what golf clubs do you play? My general KYTU says, what's your preferred brand of heaters when you're on the golf course? And Ryan Wook says, what is Stu Gatz's actual golf handicap?
All right, so let's start with the golf clubs. I just bought TaylorMade 4s. They're fantastic.
Me too.
I love them.
They're the M4s?
Good. Yeah, the M4s.
Yeah, I just got them like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah. They're really good. Now, I have these two clubs, these old TaylorMades, my 5 Hybrid and my 5 Wood, that I just refuse to let go. So I have the full set of clubs, but I still have these old burner TaylorMades. It stands like I hit the 5 Wood and the 5 Hybrid, as well as any clubs in my bag. I love the TaylorMade 4s. I do. But I had to keep those two clubs. So that's what I'm playing with two extra clubs in the bag right now. I'm just letting you know.
That's cool. That's fine. I use the burner driver too. Don't worry about it.
The burner, right? It's listen, when you hit a club well, you hit it well and you don't go away from it. Mm-hmm. That's golf, you know? My preferred brand of heaters, Marlboro Silvers, or, you know, listen, it's not like I'm going out to the store and buying them. So whatever the hell I can get my hands on, you know, if someone's got a Newport, I'll take it. A Parliament, I'll take it. Whatever it is, I'll take it. Okay. Any heaters on the golf course for you, Stanzik?
Not for me.
Okay. Anything else on the golf course?
You know, a couple of pops. Doesn't hurt. You know, loosen up a little bit, a little swing oil.
All right. Handicap. So here's the deal. My handicap right now is around a 10. Stanzik, what is yours?
18.
18. All right. So I'm around a 10, 12, somewhere in that range. I played Greeny once. He claims I lied about my handicap. I did not. Stanzik, who do you agree with here? Because here's the deal. He asked me my handicap, but I told him what it was. At the time, it was like a 15. Okay. Now I get to the course, and Greeny tells me his index. You know the whole thing with Greeny, right?
Yep.
He's got decimal points, the whole deal, okay? And I said, Greeny, what is yours? He told me what it was. We get, now he was better than me, just based on his handicap, all right? I get to the golf course, and I'm thinking we're playing from the blue tees, and Greeny tells me we're playing from the white tees. I don't play from the white tees because I play from the blue tees, so, you know, I said, Greeny, I'm probably going to beat you if we're playing from the white tees, and I'm playing with a 15 handicap, and, so who's right, who's wrong there? Because he feels like I sandbagged him. I had no idea we were playing from the whites, which is closer.
There is no way that you walked to the white tees and you said to him, Greeny, I'm probably going to beat you if we play from the white tees. You're lying. I'm going with Greeny.
All right, well, I am lying. But just in terms of the handicap, I did not sandbag my handicap. I thought we were playing from the blue tees.
I mean, maybe you did, but the improvement from a 15 to a 10 seems pretty drastic.
Oh, well, that's, I mean, it was 2 years ago I played with Greeny. I've gotten a lot better since.
I don't know. I'm still going with Greeny.
Okay. Anything else there from Ryan Wook? I saw another question from him.
He wants me to interview Fat Batard, he says.
Yeah, he called him Fat Batard, which is not very nice.
No.
That's not nice.
He put Dan in parentheses as if we wouldn't get it. Thank you, Ryan.
A little heavy-handed. I mean, Stigatz is stronger, that guy. So listen, here's what I've told Stanzik. If I have the interview with Lebatard, and I'm talking about the interview. Capital T, capital H, capital E. You know what I mean, Stanzik?
Yeah, that's how you spell the.
Yes. The interview with Lebatard, where we break down the history of our show, our relationship, the time he hated me the most, the time I hated him the most. I mean, I have told Stanzik that this would be not just number one sports and rec, it'd be number one on Apple like we were the first week when we beat Oprah. How do you feel about that?
I think you guys would need a moderator, and I don't think I'm up to the task. I think we'd need a professional.
right?
Like some sort of counselor.
Okay, but listen, Lebatard and I were like a married couple, right? I've spent more time with Dan over the last 16 years than I have with Abby.
Abby who?
Right, exactly. She bailed on this thing about f***ing 10 episodes.
Never heard of her.
Did she make it to the 10th anniversary?
Who?
Yeah, exactly. So, but how do you feel about just the idea of having Lebatard on as a guest? I think it'd be good, right?
All for it, yes.
All right, let's make it happen. I'll see if I can pull some strings and get that done.
Two more here. One from Rico, 7575. Stu, first time, long time. Which would you rather? Going back to 18 years old, knowing what you know now, or $20 million when you turn 65?
Going back to 18, knowing what I know now. Who would go the other way on that? If you went back to 18, knowing what you knew now, you would bet on every Super Bowl champion. You'd have way more than $20 million by the time you're 65, right, Stanzik?
You crushed that guy's question. Yes, you're 100% right.
All right, what else you got?
Last one is from Filthy Lush, who says, this is just Stu's way of doing even less work, right?
Stupidity! All right, a lot of fun today. Our thanks to Jay Billis. Our thanks to Field Yates. Our thanks, and good luck to Field, by the way, and good luck to his poor wife. And I shouldn't say poor, actually. His wealthy wife. Good luck to her. You think you got a prenup? Stupidity. And thanks to our audience, because you guys came very, very strong with downloading, rating, reviewing, unsubscribing, re-rating, re-reviewing. Do it again. 5-star reviews with questions, with suggestions, guest ideas. Do it again. Stanzik, we're going to do this again next week. Is that what you're saying?
Keep them coming. Yeah, you keep them coming. We'll keep reading them.
All right, Stanzik, big week this week, but an even bigger week next week. We are getting Bill Simmons on the podcast. How about that? Bill Simmons going to join us.
Good time to get him.
All right, so we got Simmons headed into NBA free agency and post-NBA draft. We'll have Adam Schefter with a full recap of the Field Yates wedding. And then the guest we've been waiting for, trying to get for 20 episodes now, he will appear on the 21st episode of Stupidity. We will all find out together if he had a child. It is Russell Follansbee III. Stupidity!